In this session, we will look at how transfer pricing applies to loans. First of all, let's consider excessive interest. The transfer pricing rules will apply where both the parties to the transaction are companies, and the actual provision is in relation to a security issue by one of the companies. Security is given a wide meaning that covers any loan or other money debt. In deciding whether the interest charge differs from that which would have been charged in the absence of a special relationship, account will be taken of all factors, including whether the loan would have been made, the amount for which the loan would have been made, and the rate of interest and other terms that would have been agreed. These tests are applied without taking account of the fact that the lender's normal business does not include the making of loans. In considering the above questions, the revenue will be considering whether a company is thinly capitalized. The revenue are reluctant to say when a company will be considered to be thinly capitalized. However, they have previously indicated that with a gearing of 1:1 and interest cover of at least 3:1, the arm's length test should be met, although recent guidance issued by HMRC in March 2010 has moved away from the use of such ratios. A special relationship exists where the control provisions relating to transfer pricing apply. The borrowing company has to be looked at in isolation in determining whether the loan would have been made and the level of interest. Thus, no account is taken of any guarantee provided by a connected company. A guarantee includes any arrangement, formal or informal, that gives the lender reasonable belief that he will be paid if the borrower defaults. A new section has been inserted into the transfer pricing rules to cover the situation where a transaction includes the issuing of a security by a company which is one of the affected persons, i.e. the issuer, and the provision of a guarantee by a company which is the other person. In deciding whether an adjustment needs to be made for excessive interest, regard should be had as to what would have happened in the absence of a special relationship, whether a guarantee would have been provided, what amount would have been guaranteed, the consideration that would have been required for the guarantee, and other terms that would have been agreed. As for excessive interest, no account is to be taken of the fact that the provider's normal business does not include that of giving guarantees. Again, the borrowing company must be looked at in isolation from its parent group. Turning to the elimination of double counting. Where interest payments are subject to a transfer pricing adjustment, a claim can be made for a compensating adjustment, as with other forms of transfer pricing adjustments. A claim can only be made by the advantaged or disadvantaged person. A claim made by the advantaged person will be taken to have been made on behalf of the disadvantaged person. A claim can be made before the computation of the arm's length interest has been made. A claim will not be treated as being made within the tax return. Instead, it will be governed by the rules relating to claims made outside of a tax return. Compensating adjustments must be consistent between the borrower and the lender. A claim may be varied within the time limits. A claim for a compensating adjustment can also be made by a guarantor to a loan. A claim can only be made where the guarantee has led to the transfer pricing adjustment. The claim is limited to the amount that an independent lender would take the guarantee into account in determining the borrower's lending capacity. The guarantor makes a claim to be treated as if it had made the loan and paid the interest which was disallowed, thus giving the guarantor the right to an interest deduction. In the case of more than one guarantor, the amounts have to be split among them. If the lender also makes a claim for a compensating adjustment, for instance because it is connected to the borrower, then a claim by the lender must take account of any earlier claim made by the guarantor. A claim by the guarantor cannot be made where a claim has already been made by the lender. A guarantor can make a balancing payment to a borrower to take account of a transfer of the interest deduction to him. This balancing payment has no tax effect. There is no obligation to make such a payment. A claim for a compensating adjustment by a guarantor can be made by either the guarantor or the borrower. A claim by the borrower will be taken to be made on behalf of the guarantor. Interest payments and receipts by companies are normally classified as interest on a non-trade loan relationship. However, where a transfer pricing adjustment is made in respect of interest, denying a deduction for the borrower, the lender will not be treated as receiving loan relationship interest. This means that in the case of an overseas lender, tax does not need to be deducted at source. Statement of Practice 407 deals with Advanced Thing Capitalization Agreements, ATCAs for short. Only, it does not in any way impact on Statement of Practice 399 that we looked at in the last chapter. Situations suitable for ATCAs include, but are not limited to, the following. Intragroup funding outside the scope of treaty applications, e.g. involving a quoted Eurobond or discounted bond. Financing arrangements brought into Part 4 of TIOPA 2010 by the Acting Together rules in Section 158 TIOPA 2010, and financing arrangements previously dealt with under the treaty route. The potential scope of an ATCA is flexible. They may cover either the treatment of a single applicant's financial instrument or the treatment of the overall debt position of a group, depending on circumstances. An ATCA will be operative for a specified period from the date set out in the agreement. The current guidance is that thin capitalization agreements negotiated under the treaty route should not be entered into for more than 5 years. It is therefore intended that the vast majority of advanced thin capitalization agreements will last for between 3 and 5 years. While an ATCA will normally operate prospectively in relation to chargeable periods beginning after the time the application is made, it is possible that a chargeable period to which the agreement relates may have ended before the agreement is reached. Section 224 TIOPA 2010 allows the agreement to be effective for that chargeable period, and in accordance with Section 224 TIOPA 2010, the agreement may set out any adjustments to be made for tax purposes as a consequence of the agreement. Although a particular agreement does not relate to earlier periods, the conclusions reached in negotiating the agreement may be relevant to a return for an earlier period, or to the resolution of thin capitalization inquiries raised for earlier periods. If the particular facts and circumstances surrounding those years are substantially the same. Consequently, in such circumstances, the business and HMRC may jointly agree to consider a rollback of the ATCA as an appropriate means for amending a self-assessment return and of resolving outstanding transfer pricing issues in earlier years. HMRC will not, however, use hindsight in any such rollback. Except where rollback is being considered, the request for an ATCA in respect of future years will not in itself affect any transfer pricing inquiry. HMRC will coordinate the request in respect of future years with any transfer pricing inquiry in respect of prior years in order to improve overall efficiency and reduce duplication of inquiries.